Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman. I want to thank you for your belief and trust in this platform. Look, it seems like we're all getting messed with these days. Anyone who is a Christian conservative talk show host, anyone who's got any kind of a platform with any kind of following, or when I say following, I mean a subscription base or whatever, they're coming after us. Look, I haven't gotten a targeting letter yet. I expect that any day from the Department of Justice. The reason I say that is because they're coming after all of us, and with me is Dave Hodges. And Dave Hodges, of course, of The Common Sense Show, thecommonsenseshow.com. That's his website. They're always messing with him, too. I cannot give you any good news. Okay. I wish I could. I wish I could. I really do. I don't want anyone to lose hope. I don't want anyone to lose. I don't want you to watch this show and then go away from this show hopeless. I want you filled with hope, filled with happiness, joy, and glory in the fact that we know how this story ends. But no one said it was going to be easy. No one said it was going to be easy. When you're over the target, when you go after child sex trafficking rings, when you bust up a few coordinated, I can't get into details, but I'll just say this: when you interrupt their flow of children, you tend to anger some people, okay? And we're doing that, thankfully, and thank God. And I'm so thankful that we are able to help the children. You know, we're not just people with microphones. We're people that do things. And I'm not going to get into that any further. But with me, and I don't want to take any more of his time, with me is the very, 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 very busy and extremely effective against the deep state, Dave Hodges, thecommonsenseshow.com. Dave, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Doug. It's always great to be with you, my friend. We go way back.
We do.
And we do. We fought a lot of wars together. I do have a silver lining in the no good news, and I agree.
Please.
The news is grim, but let me give to you what I think is hopeful, but then I'll give you the downside.
Okay.
I would estimate from what I'm seeing right now that about half of the country, I would say anywhere between 45-55% of the country, knows that we're being ruled by a criminal mafia. They may not know all the details, but they know enough. Everybody has a piece of this pie. They see some of it. And I'm saying about half the country.
Right.
The other half chooses to remain ignorant. But here's the problem. 3%, I estimate, maybe 4% of the people are active in doing things. And what I tell my audience frequently is you don't have to have a talk show. You don't have to be on YouTube or write articles. If you just wrote to five people, your two reps in your state, I'm talking about state house, state senate, if you wrote to your representative in Congress and your two senators and blind copy so they don't and write the same letter every day, and all you got to do is copy, paste, send, and then tell everyone you know to do the same thing. They don't read the letters. They don't read them. They basically weigh them. How many did we get? Oh, my gosh. We're getting how many now? It was 1,000. Now it's 10,000. We better take a look at what a couple of these people are saying. And then when they get 100,000, then they start crapping their pants. And this is the low end, the bottom feeding of political activism, writing letters, making phone calls. But everybody could do something. That's my point. And, Doug, here's what the research says on this. There's a group called SNARC, S-N-A-R-C, and you can look that up on the net. It's a social psychology research organization with a great reputation. I don't remember what SNARC stands for, but you'll see it when you find their site. And what SNARC says is this: for an interest and a fad to become an obsession, you need 10% of the population to be committed. Once you reach that 10% threshold, then it explodes. Well, I think we're hovering around 3-4%. I won't go into all the details why I believe that. But I think that if we just keep pushing, we could really expand this. But I'm going to give a warning, Doug, and I mean this sincerely. There's an issue looming out there right now. Look, at child trafficking and election integrity are huge issues, no question. But there's one issue that dwarfs all of them. If CBDC comes in, they've already got phase one done of five phases. And if that comes in its full entirety, they will control your property, your bank account. And if you step out of line, they'll nail you. They can determine from this what you will eat. So when they say things like you'll eat bugs, aquatics, and plants, they can make you do that once they have total control of the economic system. And I believe Justin Trudeau's treatment of the truckers that were protesting in Canada, as well as the people who supported them, where he seized their assets, closed their bank accounts, I thought that was a beta test for North America. Will Canadians stand up to this tyranny of just outright theft by Trudeau? And they didn't. And they're going to use the CBDC and just say, you'll fall into line or else. Once CBDC, central bank digital currency, is in place, all ability to protest will be over. And Doug, I just want to remind people of one thing. The research tells us that in the average American home, we have 7 to 10 listening devices. I'll just show you one of them right here. Okay, this right here, they have 7 to 10 listening devices that are reporting every word that's said within earshot of that device. And so they have compiled a file on you with the NSA, and I've known this about this for years, and they have a naughty and nice list, and they're continuing to add to it. Once CBDC and their social credit system is in place, they will be able to act upon the people who they feel are not loyal party members. And I chose the word party members on purpose because we're dealing with Bolshevik communism. So when we look at this, Doug, we're waking people up, but not enough people are moving to action, and we don't have much time. I don't know how long it's going to take for CBDC to come in its full form and to where it's game over, but I don't think we have 6 months. We might not. I don't think we do. And I think they've got to move quickly, because of the rapidity of people waking up, even Democrats. I'll give you one quick example. This morning, Breitbart reported on a Democratic councilman from New York City who went after the Biden administration for their immigration policies that are overrunning New York City and costing the taxpayers $8 million a day. Just one Democrat, but there are several Democrats beginning to speak out. They're losing their own base. Hispanics have already run from this party, because they're the fastest growing entrepreneurial class in America, and they don't have time for their socialism. They want nothing to do with it. So they're losing their base, and they've got to move with great rapidity. So people, I'm telling you right now, if you don't get involved and you don't put people on the edge in Washington, and in fact, I'm going to start a movement. I'm going to try to get with Sarah Westall, Paul Preston, hopefully you. And we need to start a movement of anti-incumbency. I don't think there's a dozen representatives in Congress that deserve to be reelected. I think Comer, Marjorie Taylor Greene, those kinds of people do. But most of them need to be gone. And we need people to step up and start a group called Toss Them All, and have a website called tossthemall.com. And we need to go the anti-incumbent route, because if we tell the GOP, we will unelect your butt in the primary if you don't start defunding Merrick Garland, if you don't defund the FBI, if you don't defund the Ukraine war, if you don't block draft legislation that's coming to the forefront, where there's going to be a draft. The Council on Foreign Relations and Military.com called for it this week. So if we don't get them to do that, we need to put them in the firing line and let them know, you know, we may not be able to stop what's happening, but you won't be in government when it does.
Eric the Tech, this is why I listen and watch Dave Hodges. Telling you, that's okay. So we need to do that, because if you think about this, Dave, okay, we have the majority, of course, in the House by a hair. Okay, I mean, rhinos included in that, and that's what I mean by a hair. In the Senate, we don't have anything, but what the hell? Why hasn't Garland been impeached? Why hasn't Biden been impeached for what we're finding out, which we knew for, what, 5 years now, 4 years at the very least, what the hell was on his laptop, and then he was a lying sack of crap from day one. Okay, that potato head using, you know, selling his influence and selling out the country to the communist Chinese. Why hasn't there been anybody to impeach Garland, to impeach Biden, to take them out, as well as anyone else? And the DOJ has been captured. I get that. But for everything that is holy, I am so pissed off at everything right now. Not seeing
we have the rhinos. Yeah. We have the rhinos. You're absolutely right. We really deal with in Arizona, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I want to answer your question on the national level first.
Yes.
Because so it is above, so it is below. It's the same in your state, people. You may not be aware of it, but it's true in your state. There's a report called the Brager Report, Doug and I will probably get into later in the broadcast, that details extreme organized crime corruption involving the cartels and the buy-off of politicians, state officials, and judges. And it's happening at the local level as well as the national level. We see it full front with Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Mitch McConnell, whose wife's parents control the six major ports in China. And Mitch gets $25 million a year from this deal. Mark Kelly, one of our senators here in Arizona, makes over $20 million a year with his associations with communist China. We could go on and on and on. But so it is above, so it is below. But to answer your question about impeachment, Marjorie Taylor Greene did introduce articles of impeachment that Kevin McCarthy has not acted on.
Right.
Kevin McCarthy was part of the triumvirate that killed eight America First Senate campaigns in the 2022 election. Two of them managed to get elected. All eight seats were very winnable, and all eight GOP had the lead. J.D. Vance was one of those that survived. Laxalt, for example, in Nevada, he was leading until the midnight hour and got beat on extreme voting cheating. But, Doug, here's what Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, and Rona McDaniel, the head of the RNC, did. They pulled funding for these eight Senate races at the last minute. And Mitch McConnell, this has been reported in the mainstream media, has an agreement with Chuck Schumer, opposite sides of the party, supposedly Democrat, Republican, but really they meet in the middle with Uniparty. They have an agreement to get the Senate rid of all America First candidates. And in Arizona, we had Maricopa County Supervisor Bill Gates and the county clerk and recorder of Maricopa County, Stephen Reicher, form a political action campaign, a PAC, to get rid of America First candidates that were running for office in Arizona. And Carrie Lake was one of those. And we know what happened there, where 60% of the voting machines upon opening in heavy Republican areas failed so the Democrats could steal the election. But this was done by Republicans. Bill Gates was allegedly a GOP. Stephen Reicher is a GOP. Yep. Okay, you got McConnell and McCarthy who are GOP. But here's the thing about McCarthy. He can be flipped. And the reason I say that is because he is the consummate political prostitute. If we put pressure on him and he thinks he might get unelected because there's so much pressure against incumbency, he'll start to defend Donald Trump, which he hasn't. Right now, they should be defunding Jack Smith in this political witch hunt.
Hell yeah.
The Congress, well, I'll tell you why McCarthy's not. He's hoping to slip in as the Republican nominee. I guarantee you.
Really?
That's why he's not helping Trump.
Okay, I guess I didn't think about that, but that does make sense.
Yeah, well, we have such criminal corruption. It's unreal. Should I talk a little bit about Arizona?
Brother, you go anywhere you want to go. Yeah, absolutely. I think Arizona, it could be a microcosm of the nation. But Arizona's got some interesting angles to it that you know all about. So yeah, please let's talk about Arizona because hopefully we'll have Liz Harris on at some point who really knows the dark underbelly of things. But yeah, let's talk Arizona. Go ahead.
Yeah, I told Liz you're going to be contacting her. And let's start with Liz.
All right.
I first met Liz. I knew of Liz because of her work. In fact, I'm going to immodestly say something, and trust me, I'm not bragging, but I think it's true. After the 2020 election, if you wanted to know about corruption in Arizona that stole a million votes away from Donald Trump, if you wanted to know what happened, you either went to Liz Harris or me. I detailed five ways that this happened, and I won't go through all the detail because it's quite extensive. And Liz had her methods, of determining what happened with regard to the 2020 election. And I first met Liz at a Tea Party presentation that we were both at. And we talked, we exchanged information, and she had been defrauded in her election that had just occurred prior to that. And then she ran for re-election and got elected. Now, here's what's interesting. I have an outstanding source with law enforcement background and tech background, and he knows the formulas that are used on the machines to flip elections. And that's only one of five ways the elections were stolen. But when Liz ran in this last election in 2022, she won in her district overwhelmingly. And the reason she won is they didn't mess with the machines. And there was a little minor voter fraud with ballots and so forth that always occur with Democrats. But she won, and I believe she was allowed to win. And here's why. She goes into the House of Representatives in Arizona as a known critic of Arizona election system, identifying clear flaws. They also figured that she's had some association with me. In fact, let me just say this before I go back to Liz. In May of 2021, I wrote an article, it's still up on the commonsenseshow.com. I detailed five ways the election was stolen. And I was on Paul Preston's Agenda 21 radio show that day. And Paul got a phone call basically saying, you keep supporting Dave Hodges, you're going to end up getting being killed. And then Sarah Westall is a good friend of mine, great journalist. She got basically the same treatment. And 11 other people that I know of were contacted, have nothing to do with Dave Hodges. And they were all connected to the Arizona audit because I had exposed what was going on. So, Doug, when we look at this,
listening to that, you want to do that to me? Bring it.
Yeah,
and pack a lunch and bring some help. But make sure your affairs are in order. Go ahead, sir.
Well, here's where I'm going with this, though. This is really interesting. Liz gets elected, and I was stunned. I was happy as heck, but I was stunned that she got elected. Well, they had an election integrity committee for both the state house and the state senate in Arizona. In Arizona, they shouldn't use the words election integrity in the same sentence. And they had a committee. And Liz was told, you can invite who you want. Well, Liz invited two groups that couldn't make it. It was out of state. And her third choice ended up coming in. And they were reviewing a report they prepared for 25 states, 120,000 pages, over 2,000 affidavits. This isn't monkey business. The author of the report was attorney John Thaler. John has done RICO investigations for the federal government and private enterprise for 30 years. Yet the media here in Arizona calls him a lunatic, crackpot, conspiracy theorist, despite
I know
his
him.
Stellar background. You know, John?
Only because, and this is really weird, because when I worked for Fortune 100 companies, he was used, or employed, subcontractor, contract, whatever you want to call it, on some fraud. I mean, we're talking multi-million-dollar fraud cases.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. I know who you're talking about. No slouch. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, but he's the real deal. I'm sure you agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah, but he's painted as a lawyer looking for fame and fortune and blah, 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 blah. Now, his life has been a living hell since he's done this. So anyway, his assistant, Jackie Brager, gave a report, a 45-minute report, to the Arizona legislature. Now, Ben Toma, who's named in the Brager report of taking Sinaloa payoff money with a fake real estate deals where they launder money and then they buy public officials and so forth, he's named in this report. Now, I don't know if he's guilty or not. I plan on sending Toma the affidavit and asking him for a response. But he's the Speaker of the House. And he had veto power over anything that went on in this committee, yet he let it go forward. And then the person that chaired the meeting was someone named Wendy Rogers. Now, I used to have Wendy on my TV show a lot at the commonsenseshow.tv. And Wendy was a very good guest. And she had been defrauded once, according to my source, and ended up winning. Wendy started making some claims I didn't agree with, and I was being held to the fire by my audience. And I told her, I said, I got to have some proof for these statements you made. And she responded to me by going on Rumble and calling me Clueless Dave Hodges. But anyway, Wendy Rogers is chairing the committee. The witness, Jackie Brager, gives a 45-minute shocking report. And at the end, Wendy says, you're a brave lady. Thank you so much for coming forward with this valuable information. Okay, now, this meeting got Liz Harris kicked out of the Arizona House of Representatives. And there were no Democrats that pushed her out. It was all a Republican con job led by Ben Thoma, the Speaker of the House, who had veto power over the meeting. And Wendy Rogers did not help Liz when she was in trouble. And Wendy Rogers chaired the meeting, but nothing happened to these two people, just Liz. And then the media had a frenzy on her. And it's my opinion, and I told Liz this the other day when we were on the air together, I said, they let you win that election so they could get you in there. They knew you were going to continue with election integrity issues, and they wanted to discredit you because you were hitting too many home runs. Yeah, and that's the game being played here in Arizona.
Wow.
But to
Wendy Rogers, but no, I agree with what you're saying. So they let Liz Harris win, and then they let her win, and then they made an example of her. This is what, to me, this is what you're saying. Is that an accurate statement or no?
Very same. Well, it gets worse than this, Doug.
Okay.
She goes on one of those infamous car rides, okay, after she's kicked out. Okay, and people like me are going ballistic. And she was told with witnesses that, Liz, you better stop this crap or they'll kneecap you. It was a direct threat. Yeah, literally. This was a direct threat. They went. She's a really successful realtor. She's on all these realtor boards. They got her kicked off the boards. They tried to get her license. They weren't able to get her license, but they did damage to her career. I mean, this was a total cancel Liz Harris culture move for daring to tell the truth. Now, if I have my numbers right, she canvassed a statistical sample of Maricopa County. She walked up, one of her proxies walk up and just say, we have a report here that John Davis voted in the last election. We don't care who he voted for. We just want to know, is this the right residence? It's the address we have. Oh, no, we bought the house from John Davis 20 years ago. He moved to Ohio. That's the kind of answers they got. And statistically, when you average it out based on statistical sampling, the estimate is, I believe, 300,000 votes were stolen in this man. And so this put Liz on the map. And now let me tell you what's happening in Arizona. I have an inside source in the AG's office that they're planning to prosecute her. And I've told Liz this, and Liz said she's heard the same thing. But I guarantee what she told me didn't quite exactly match what I was told. So I'm sure we're hearing it from two different people. The current attorney general, who I believe stole her election from Abe Amadei, for various reasons, using the machine voter fraud and ballot stuffing that was caught on tape. I believe that she is going to go after Liz based on what I've talked about for voter intimidation and violation of the Voting KKK Act, because some of the homes that Liz and her group went to were of black people. And so they're trying to tie KKK. Now, she did no more, or she did less, I would say, than a pollster who would ask people on the street, hey, who'd you vote for? Why'd you vote for him? They didn't do that. So pollsters do more than Liz Harris, but they're planning to organize the AG's office in Arizona and go after Liz for this. Now, I'm going to say, this has not been announced publicly, and I'm sure when this gets back to Chris Mays and her little band of criminals, they're going to be a little more than pissed off. And you know what, Chris? We're watching you. There's a recall effort coming against Governor Katie Hobbs, and we're going to make you second on the list.
This is why I really, really admire Dave Hodges, thecommonsenseshow.com. The link will be in today's program description box. I'm going to tell you something. Everything Dave is saying here is 100%. He is probably one of the foremost experts on all things Arizona election, all things Arizona political, and really a lot of the political backstabbing and everything that goes on. Etu Brute, Wendy Rogers, yeah. Of course, referring to Julius Caesar. I think it was the third scene. I'm not sure in Julius Caesar, but nonetheless, there it is. So people think that all of the fallout from 2020 is over, from 2022 is over. Right now we are still fighting the fight. We're still, because we dare fight that fight, they're coming after us. The weaponized legal system, like Liz Harris. I mean, having done nothing wrong, being allowed to do this constitutionally.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And they've made Liz's life a living hell. Now, she's a tough person. She has more integrity in her little finger than most people do in their whole body.
Explain to me, though. Okay, you mentioned something about this, and I think our listeners may not understand this. Katie Hobbs et al., the connection to the Sinaloa cartels in real estate. Explain that if you can, so people can understand it. So pretend I'm like a moron. Easy. No, I'm kidding. But what do you mean by that?
We have to go back to the Brager Report. And the main thrust of the Brager Report, there's more. There's corruption from many different angles in 25 states. Remember, I said this is a 120,000-page report. I have part of it.
Right.
The report alleges that Sinaloa cartel, in combination with people helping them, and I got to believe it's a CIA op, but the Sinaloa cartel has been conducting fake real estate scams for a very long time and skimming the money off and paying off key officials. In fact, the report talks about how they'll start funding lawyers, getting them prominent, and then they get them into judgeships. And these judges, this is why you can't get any traction with voter fraud suits. Let me just give you one example about how bad it is with judges here. And I believe that I'm challenging you because the first judge, and his name jumped out of my head just now, but the first judge that Carrie Lake had in her voter fraud case, she had 10 counts of alleged wrongdoing in the election, and some of them were directed at Katie Hobbs. Now, at the time of the election, Katie Hobbs was the Secretary of State and in charge of state elections. But when you're running for higher office, you're forced to recuse yourself by law. You can't make rulings on your own election. Yet she repeatedly did that. And so Carrie Lake, I'll just give you an example. Two of the counties, Mojave County and Cochise County, on opposite ends of the state, one north neighboring Nevada, one south on the border, they wanted to hand count the vote following the machine vote to validate the results. Now, Arizona is a legislated, mandated machine counting state, but there's no provision that prevents the checking by hand counting. Yet Katie Hobbs, as Secretary of State, illegally told these officials in these two counties, if you do this, I will throw your ass in prison. And she's a foul-mouthed person. I mean, she was being followed by a Gateway pundit in her gym, and they were asking her why she didn't follow through with things, and she dropped F-bombs on them. So excuse my French there, but that's a quote. And then Katie, later on, the county supervisors in Mojave County were not going to certify the election. And here she is still the Secretary of State, and she tells Ron Gould, who's a former state senator, then the chairman of the county supervisors in Mojave County, if you don't do this, I will throw you in prison. And here's what Ron said. Ron used to have a radio show when he was in the state Senate, and I was on that show a couple times when I was fighting against the John McCain mafia trying to steal my property. And so Ron's a good man, and he came out and he said, under threat of going to prison, I certify this election. And he was the chairman of the county commissioners. So this is this goes on Carrie Lake's complaint. This is one of her counts: malfeasance of office, conflict of interest against Katie Hobbs. And here's what this judge, who I believe, in my opinion, is bought off. He threw the count out. He wouldn't even consider it. I don't know how you ignore something so blatant, but this is what happens in my state. I'll give you another thing, too, Doug. Back in the 2020 election, I had three election officials anonymously contact me, and they were reading some of the concerns I had over the audit. And I started calling the Arizona audit the Arizona fraudit, because it looked to me like it was nothing but a whitewash cover-up. And so three election officials, not known to each other, all contacted me individually and said, Dave, we did not have the machine codes, election codes we were supposed to have on election night. And I said, can you explain that to me? I'm not sure I really understand it. And so they all three gave me the same explanation. And they said, we have to have the code so if something goes wrong, we can trace where the problem is. And I said, okay. And they said, this is state mandated by law. And I said, why do you think this was done? And two of the three said, we think it was the people running the voting machines, and they didn't want where they were counting the votes to be traceable. And I asked one, I asked all three of them, I said, where do you think those votes were counted? And one person said Italy and China. The other one said China. The third said, I don't know. But that was their thinking. Now, this isn't the end of the story. I started writing about this. I said, I have unnamed sources and are afraid for their careers, but here's what they're telling me, and their stories are consistent, and they approached me individually. So I started publishing this. There was a third-party group that launched a lawsuit against the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, because that's where the codes come from. And they refused to relinquish the codes. There were two court orders to relinquish the codes to the audit team so they could see where the votes were counted. To this day, they have not complied. Now, the attorney general at the time, Ron Brnovich, he ordered them, if they did not surrender the codes, he was going to cut off all state funding to Maricopa County. Well, they drag it out. He gave him an extension, Someone got to Brnovich because this was never acted upon. That's how corrupt this was. The election codes. Now, Maricopa County, they had a press conference that was carried like front page news on the nightly news. I mean, this to me was not more important than other stuff going on in the world at the time. But this was it. And they got the sheriff. And I should mention this. He and Katie Hobbs were both funded $2 million apiece to get their political positions. They had Secretary of State for Hobbs and the sheriff for Paul Penzone. And Penzone pushed out Jorah Pyle, effectively, and his successor, Sherman, who ran against him. So Penzone gets up and he said, I had the codes on election night. We had concerns that someone was trying to steal the codes. And I'm thinking, the sheriff is not even in this process. This is an absolute lie. And I called it that. And then what's really interesting about this is he went on later when the media actually asked him a couple of questions. Why aren't you releasing the codes? Oh, because the codes can have other criminal cases on them. What? So you're telling me you have a computer file with criminal codes or election codes, and you've combined them with criminal cases where you can't divulge the identities? That had to be the worst excuse, Doug, I ever heard.
Yeah, I remember that. And you know, I want to remind people here, Patrick Byrne wrote this in his book, but again, we're talking about election fraud. And for those people, I'm going to just cite this from Patrick Byrne, his book. You don't need widespread fraud. All you need is deep fraud. And you don't need every state or every city. You only need six to steal the national election. This is not, I'm talking nationally now. But think about these cities. You need Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee, Las Vegas, and guess what? Phoenix.
Maricopa County.
Maricopa County. And you're talking about the counties as well as the cities. So there you go. I mean, so, okay.
This state is so corrupt. We've had so many governors leave office under a cloud. We've had such corruption in the state government. It's been here ever since I moved to Arizona in 1985. And I came here because I was tired of shoveling snow. But the corruption. Don Bowles, I'll use this as an example, 1977. Don Bowles is investigating a group called the Phoenix 40. This would have included people like Rumsfeld, Janet Napolitano, the Bushes and so forth, and McCain, and a bunch of Arizona politicians. And they would buy up land in advance of state construction projects, and then they would make a mint on selling it off to the state. Well, Don Bowles was investigating this as well as other other crimes, and it was a group called the Phoenix 40. He goes into the county offices to pull records. He comes out, starts up his car, and it blows up on him. I had his brother. Yeah, I had his brother. This is, by the way, this was even covered on 60 Minutes. But the year was 1977, and I had his brother as a grad school professor. He was a guest speaker. He came in a few times and subbed. And I asked him about, I said, hey, I don't want to bring up old wounds, but, and I tell you what happened to your brother. And he said, you don't even know half the story, and he wouldn't talk about it. But it's just an example. There's another one. I was having dinner with some friends, and Frances Barwood, who was a former Phoenix City Councilwoman who knew the corruption. And Frances told us about a person who was going to give a deposition about voter fraud. I think it was the following day. And she's standing near a bus stop, and a truck takes her out, hit and run. It wasn't properly investigated. My state senator, Jack Harper, who helped me win against McCain, Jack Harper, he spoke out against voter fraud in a Phoenix suburb, and he was on his way to being Secretary of State, and that ended his political career. So, you know, in Arizona, let me just say this. I had an old friend named Lorraine King. She was a Democratic committee chairperson, and I used to teach with her. But we were best of friends despite being on opposite ends of the political pole. And Lorraine said to me when she first met me, hey, Dave, welcome to Arizona. We have the best politicians that money can buy. But I have to tell people, the Brager Report is in 25 states. It covers 25 states. Part of it, with the fake real estate companies, has been adjudicated in the Southern District Court of New York. So much for the conspiracy theory, not true. Not one allegation in the Brager Report has been looked at. But can I tell you about a case I was personally involved in, so I know this is real?
Oh, yeah, please.
Okay, I used to speak at a group, and I'm not going to mention the lady who was victimized because she's asked me not to use her name publicly, because understandably, if she had a gun put in her face and the gun misfired, she's scared to death, and I respect that. But I'm going to tell the story. So she used to invite me to Yavapai County to speak to her group of about 500 people. And the last time I was there, the county sheriffs were there, the county deputies. And I was shocked. I'd spoken there before, and there was never any law enforcement. And one of them walks up to me, Mr. Hodges, if trouble starts, get behind the podium and we'll protect you. And I'll say, protect you from what? And he says, you'll have to talk to that lady over there. And speaking about, it was about the person sponsoring. So I give my presentation, and we all go out to lunch afterwards. A person who then was a current state representative, who, by the way, our moms were best friends in Colorado, and when she had served years before, she actually was a good assist for me in fighting my property rights battle. She went out to lunch with us. The former head of the Republican committee in this county went out to lunch with us, and some other people, and this lady and her boyfriend. Lady and her boyfriend had pulled records from a public figure in Arizona. And I'm not going to say the name because I'm not sure I could prove it in a court of law, but the actions kind of speak to this. So this person was a well-known politician, and they were selling land for pennies on the dollar. They also were involved in the state recreational marijuana issue, and we know the Sinaloas have penetrated that here in Arizona. So this is the money laundering operation talked about in the Brager Report. And this realtor who ended up being victimized, she pulled case after case of overpriced real estate for sale by this person or her business interests. And she started talking to me about it. Well, we didn't go public with this yet. And we thought, well, how the hell did they find out? Well, we found out the county clerk and recorder is a George Soros friend. She's no longer in office, but they were, let's put it this way, she played for the other side, and we're sure that's where the leak came from. So this lady and her boyfriend return home one night, and there's an assailant waiting there. Shot the boyfriend in the head. He maintained consciousness long enough to fire two shots and wound the assailant. And so they're both wounded. The assailant tried to shoot the realtor in the face as he is on the ground, and the gun misfired or she wouldn't be here. So the Chino Valley police get involved, and they first call it attempted first-degree homicide. The county, Yavapai County, which is basically the Prescott area, takes over the case, and they have now, I don't know what the latest status is, but they basically pleaded this case down to almost jaywalking, even though it was attempted first-degree murder. And this was the same group of prosecutors that when Hunter Biden was caught in the airport in that county with crack paraphernalia in his rental car in the back seat, they let walk. So this is the corruption that exists. And so here's what I want to sum up for you to show you. I've lived the Brager Report. This case showed overpriced real estate. We believe very strongly Sinaloa involvement, exposure, attempted assassination. This is exactly what's in the Brager Report, case after case after case like this. So people tell me, oh, there's no chance that's true. I said, yeah, tell it to the boyfriend that got shot in the head.
Exactly. For people, if people want access to the Brager Report,
tough to get. I don't even have the entire report yet.
Okay.
Doug, I'll make available to you what I have.
Okay. All right. Because
I'm still digging through it, but let me tell you, because I've lived the money laundering part and I know how it's been covered up at the county level, there's no doubt in my mind this is what's going on.
Well, it's one of those things. I know it exists. I kind of know some of the things in there. I just don't have a copy. And
Let me, John Thaler's in trouble. And I don't know if the full report is not out because of this. I think he might be worried about legal exposure. And John, if you're listening, I don't mean to speak for you. But what I do know is this is the story I've been told. And you might ask Liz about this when you talk to her. I understand the wanted to come and talk to him. And, you know, it's just kind of like they're looking to get you on something. Well, John happened to be out of the state, and now they filed a report. He's evading the police, and they have an arrest warrant out for him. That's what I've been told.
Wow.
How much of that is true, I don't know. But anything is possible in Arizona. The Brager Report lists Mesa, Arizona as a criminal organization. They have a unit that if anyone goes against the system, they have a unit that goes out and fabricates evidence and prosecutes people. And even if they don't get a conviction, they bankrupt them in court. And that's in the Brager Report. I don't know about Mesa. Listen, I don't know if that's accurate. I don't have enough information, but I'm telling you, when you have 20,000 affidavits, you would think that reasonable officials would want to investigate this, but the system is corrupt from top to bottom. Let me give you another example. And folks, this is Arizona, but it's true in your state too.
Yep.
Our governor is corrupt as hell. She's listed on the Brager Report. It's alleged she took $500,000 from Sinaloa payoffs. This is what's alleged.
Laundered Sinaloa payoffs.
Yeah. What we can prove is she was a co-conspirator in election fraud by her interference in the election as Secretary of State. That you can prove, and that's a criminal act unto itself.
Correct.
But also what's happened is we have the number two guy, Adrian Fontes. Now, Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio and the president of the New California Movement, Paul can speak to this better than me, but this is what I know. Fontes, and I'll tell you, this is well known in California circles. He does a lot of legal work for the cartel in the casino business. In fact, let me go back and tell you one thing we can definitely prove about the Secretary of State, Adrian Fontes. One, he was voted out of Maricopa County elections recorder, and he was voted out because of alleged corruption, because of malfeasance of office and incompetence. That's what the voters were saying, and he was booted. So then he magically reappears, and he becomes the number two person in the state as Secretary of State. And he benefited from those 60% of the voting machines went down in heavy Republican areas in Maricopa County. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been elected. He barely won. But anyway, his claim to fame was he represented the cartel interests that got the Fast and Furious guns from Attorney General Eric Holder that ended up in killing Brian Terry, an agent of the Border Patrol. He was their attorney of record. Now, it may not be illegal for him to do that, but it sure as hell is a matter of judgment. And someone like that shouldn't be holding a high political position. That's my state.
Man. You know, just to hear this, knowing, I mean, I don't know, excuse me, I don't know half of what you know with respect to Arizona, but just to hear this and know this is happening in key areas nationwide.
It is. Doug, let me say this. I talk to the people in Fulton County a lot, Atlanta.
Yeah.
My stories are their stories.
And
the names change, but the tactics are the same. Here's something that's happened in both places. I think you may have this in Pennsylvania, too, if I'm not mistaken. But in Arizona, in the lead up to the 2022 election, private citizens were going out and they were standing the required distance away from voting drop boxes. So they carry the same political legal protection. You can't be within so many feet and politicize.
Right.
So in other words, people should be able to go up and cast their vote without being harassed.
Right.
So these people were standing well beyond the distance, and they had their video cameras going. And I've seen the videotapes. People going up and stuffing dozens of votes in these machines. And it looked just like a remake of the movie 2000 Mules, which was a great movie that showed this in detail. And this was going on all over Arizona, but really centered in Maricopa County and in Pima County, which is Tucson, the second biggest city in the state. Now, a judge came along. Here's another corrupt judge, and I suspect him of being paid off. He told them, if you videotape anymore, you're going to go to jail. Well, they argued, hey, wait a minute, we're outside the legal limit, and the law says you can videotape whatever the eyes can see. He said, not here, you don't. So this judge made an unconstitutional, illegal ruling to cover up Democratic voting complicity with stealing an election by stuffing ballot boxes. I believe that went on in Philadelphia.
Montgomery County and also Allegheny County in Pittsburgh area. And there was some allegations about Erie County. However, I'm not 100% sure, but I volunteered to be a poll watcher. And here's the thing, okay, when you're a poll watcher, they give you instructions. You know, if you haven't run into problems, call this number. And I told my supervisor, whoever, you know, I'm volunteering to do this. I said, no, it's really simple. I watch, I stand where I want to stand, you know, within the law. Okay, but no one's going to put pizza boxes up on windows. No one is going to push me off to the side. No, and when I got to the polls, and I said, I want you to send me to the most horrendous or what you think would be the heaviest Democratic, most questionable poll there is. That's where I want to go. And when I got there, you know, they said, you sit here. And I said, I'm not sitting there. I can't see anything. You know, don't tell me where to sit. And, you know, I just want to say this. These people are faggots. They're wimps. I'm sorry. Okay. They will back down.
Here come the letters.
I don't care. They will back down if you say no, and hell no. You know, the law says I'm allowed to stand here because here I can see. If you make me sit over there, I can't see. So if we all do this, but then again, but see, does it really matter anymore? Because they've got the machines, they've got they can adjudicate everything and help me out here. I mean, what do we do?
You're right. I remember the pizza boxes. That was incredible. I actually talked to someone, email exchange, and they were there where the pizza boxes went up, and they tried to go around and remove the pizza boxes, and they said they'll be charged with vandalism.
Yeah, and you know something? Charge me. Charge me. Okay, you go ahead and charge me. I dare you to charge me. But then again, see, then you get thrown into a court system that's already corrupt, right? And you want your butts and sitting in jail.
But it's both parties. And the sad part is this. We've really kind of blanketed Arizona for election corruption. And Doug, I've only given you maybe 5% of the picture.
Yeah.
But this is nationwide. And in particular, you're right. The gentleman who said six states, the swing states, absolutely correct. No question, Whitmer stole Michigan. And by the way, Michigan's passed an interesting law. If you misgender someone, I didn't know there was such a word, so I'm just using their term. If you call someone a they and they're a him or a her when it's a she or it, I mean, I can't even keep track of this crap. It's a foreign language to me. But if you do that, it's a $10,000 fine.
Well, I'll tell you what, I ain't got 10 grand and I ain't paying 10 grand anyway. It's either a he or a she. End of story. Okay, there's no it, them, they.
Depends where you're at. There was a coach in Vermont that just got fired, and he said he and she, another coach, got fired because he made the statement male athletes are superior to female athletes in terms of VO2 capacity and upper body strength. Those are established facts,
right,
but
right.
They both got fired. So this is, I mean, when you look at the transgender issue, and I know we're kind of going off the beaten path, but it's the same with elections. It's the same with central bank digital currency. We have gone off the charts of craziness.
We are self-destructing.
And I'm going to say this on your show publicly, and I'm going to say it everywhere. And I'm sure at some point the FBI is going to kick my door in like they did Sharona Bishop. And I'll tell you that in a minute. But here's the deal. Well, let me tell you the Sharona Bishop story. She's in Colorado, and she came to my attention. And God bless her. She's now a podcaster. But she went to different school board meetings fighting against CRT. And all she did was make public statements, and she was working with parents on how to challenge curriculum. That's your First Amendment right. She broke no laws, but the FBI kicked her door in Colorado. They put guns to their heads. They manhandled her teenage daughter when she was on the stairs. But they had guns to their heads. They took all their electronics, and they didn't even show a warrant when they broke in. They didn't repair the door. No charges were ever filed. And see, this is the America we live in. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. Critical race theory comes from, it's sponsored by Panorama Education. And guess who owns Panorama Education? Merrick Garland's son-in-law and daughter.
Oh, I knew that. You spoiled it for me. I was going to answer the question. But yes, go please tell that. Yes. Shout it. Yes.
But we live under one big criminal enterprise. So back in the beginning of the show, when I said we need to start a movement, toss them all, and maybe have a website, tossthemall.com, we need to have people send us accounts of their legislators that they can verify. And there needs to be a website. We publish it, and we start having an anti-incumbency movement. Because the GOP and the Democrats are controlled by the same people. I mean, you look at like Lisa Murkowski and Mitch McConnell. How can you even call them Republicans? It's just mind-boggling. But again, there are three groups of people in politics today, and it's really true in Arizona. So I'll speak with Arizona, but it's true at the national level and probably in your state. There are those who are criminal, and they're tied into organized crime, and they take payoffs.
Yep.
There are those who cover up for them because they're hoping to get their place in line. And then the third group, they're too chicken bleepers to do anything about it, so they just remain silent. Liz Harris is one of the few people that has the guts to speak up. And look, at she's been attacked professionally, threatened personally, and she's not stopping. But the thing is, Doug, is when we only have 3% of the country who's standing up to this tyranny, America's going to go down for the count. And people, mark my words, when CBDC comes in and they control your money, you will say or do nothing they don't like, or you will be homeless. You'll say, well, I'll just work outside the system. Fine. How are you going to prove how you paid for your property tax?
There you go.
Or your utility bill.
Yep.
Once it comes in, they got you. We have a limited window to turn this around.
You know, the 3%, and this has been bothering me for a couple of days, and this is why I'm so thankful that you're with me today, folks. That's Dave Hodges, thecommonsenseshow.com. Link will be in the program description box. I've got to tell you, it's mandatory reading. Bookmark his website. Watch, listen to everything that this man does. When this happens, it's not if, but when this happens, because I don't think enough people really understand what's attached to this. It's programmable money. And if they don't want you buying cigarettes, if they don't want you buying liquor, if they don't want you buying...
Meat.
Yes. That you're not going to be able to buy it.
That's right.
It's just that simple. And what do we do? There's no way of living outside that system. So we've got to go rogue. And by going rogue, I can see a whole lot of blood.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right on that. Let me tell you one more thing to inflame the audience, but it's factual.
Okay.
So this is, I'm going to say this to you, ladies and gentlemen, and I've written about this since 2012. It's called Executive Order 13603, and it was initiated by Obama. And Obama did a bunch of things like the NDAA, where they can snatch you off the street, this executive order that I'll talk about here in a second, and I'll only talk about one aspect of five aspects that are really bad. But the Obama was to be the eighth inning setup pitcher, to use a baseball analogy, and Hillary Clinton was to be the closer and act on all the things Obama did. Now it's kind of fallen to Biden. And I will tell you this, Hillary Clinton would have been much more efficient than the Biden administration. The Biden administration keeps making mistakes, and it's bought us some time. But let me tell you about this executive order. Ladies and gentlemen, 13603, I believe it was March 16th, 2012. And if you go, the whole thing is just horrendous, but I'll just focus on one thing. There's a draft that's coming, and we all know about the Selective Service draft, okay? And they talk about that in the sections. But in section 501, and in particularly 502, if you go to those sections, there's going to be a second draft related to Ukraine. The draft is coming. I mean, the Council on Foreign Relations gave Biden the orders this week in writing, we need a draft. Military.com, we need a draft. It's coming. They're going to come for your kids, but they also could come for you. I'm too fat and too old to fight now, okay, in service. But the reality is they might conscript me for a labor camp, because in section 502, it says, we will recruit, train, or use people of, I think they said exceptional skill, to work on defense projects without compensation. That's a quote, without compensation. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it's in Obama's executive order that I believe Biden is going to act on. He certainly legally can fall back on it. And it's slave labor. Slave labor for citizens. Slave labor camps.
That's under employment.
I don't know how to say it any more clearly. Yeah.
That's under employment personnel, I believe. It's a 10-page executive order, and that was March 16th, 2012. And you're 100% right. And I'm looking at it right here. Wow.
And you see the phrase without compensation. Can I tell you about a drill that happened in early 2009?
Yeah, please.
I grew up in Colorado, and I lived in one part of the Denver area as a youngster. And then as an older teenager, I lived in another part. And I had two friends, each one from the different areas. And they became law enforcement. And I'm not going to go more into detail because I know they're both retired, but I don't want to bring a pressure on them. But they knew I had a radio show. And they contacted me about 6 weeks apart from each other in Colorado. And I don't know if this went on in other states, but it went on in Colorado. They had two checkpoints. DHS was involved, and this is under Obama. And they had two checkpoints. One was outside Trinidad, Colorado, in the southern part of the state, and the other was on the western slope on I-70 outside Grand Junction. And they had what was basically set up as a DUI checkpoint, but it wasn't a checkpoint. It was a drill training local law enforcement to support DHS to get people who hadn't taken vaccines. And so these people would pull up. And they had the chase cars there, and they even had drills where they'd tell someone, we want you to pull out and take off when you see the roadblock, and then the chase cars would run them down. So they had this fake device, and they said, have you been vaccinated? Now, this was in the midst or towards the end of the H1N1 deal. And they went up, and they would do this fake scan of the arm. Now, these are crisis actors, now keep in mind. And so they said, we see you're not vaccinated. We're going to give you a chance over here, and if you don't submit... What they did was put the kids on one bus, you know where they were going, Sound of Freedom, and then the men on one bus and the women on another. This drill took place over a 60-day period that I know of, and I had two law enforcement guys who didn't even know each other in terms of their association with me who were telling me this. Now, here's what I'm telling you, Doug. It's not even so much about the vaccinations. It's about what this government's been preparing to do for quite some time. And they are preparing for total lockdowns. The 15-minute cities is part of this. Doug, it's just right now we're facing total tyranny if we don't stand up, and we got limited time.
Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show. I'm going to be on with him at very, very soon. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. God bless you.
My pleasure, Doug. All right. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you for what you do. God bless everyone. Have a good day.